All right, at the end of this podcast, the last 10 or 11 minutes or so is going to blow your mind. We have a guy who goes undercover to stop sex traffickers, and his story is amazing. Like, it's crazy, crazy. And his name is Aaron Spradlin. Again, listen to the whole podcast. Definitely stick around after the jingle and listen to his amazing story. You will not regret it.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast.
Oh,
Big D and Bubba,
you were the
podcast,
first to do it.
The podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba's podcast.
Yeah, we actually had a little off-air bet, and it was like, who's going to be the first one to sing along with the jingle?
Of course it's going to be Patrick.
What? Yeah. Well, you usually do
listen
it.
Listen to me. I'm singing. Listen.
I'm going to sing harmony with
Jeez,
myself.
Oh, my God.
Was
first
that you
all,
singing
I
it?
Chime in. Yeah, I chime in at the same time every week, and I'm not the only one who sings along. He usually sings along, too.
I sing along, too.
But
yeah. I prefer not to sing along.
You're singing
podcast,
along on the recording. The
right, so why would I sing along live?
Well, to harmonize with yourself.
That's even dumber.
The podcast this week sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day.
Buckshot slug, and she's covered.
Do you remember what that was from?
And I don't remember that at
that
all.
That was when we were talking to Carson about getting a gun for home protection. And we were talking about the Taurus. And he's like, the guy is like, he called up and he's like, buckshot slug,
and she's covered.
No, you forgot.
Well,
you guys already forgot that one.
Oh,
I put it in the golds, and then we had a rush of golds that kind of took over, and it got pushed to the wayside.
Yeah.
Hi, Reno.
How are you, buddy?
Reno Collier is joining us. Hi, Reno.
It's good to see you guys.
Oh, wait, I forgot to turn the volume up. Your kids are here. They're listening and watching in the other room. So
yeah. Are you guys all right?
Okay.
This needs to be a kid-friendly podcast. I guess they're all kid-friendly.
Most of them are.
How old are your kids?
I don't know.
Okay.
15 and 12.
Dude, the worst is when you pull up to go get your kids, the kids are sick, honey. Can you run to Walgreens and get the prescription?
Yeah,
they
of course.
Ask you the birthday.
Dude,
yeah.
Oh, and I didn't know they did that.
Yeah.
And so I roll up there like I'm the king of my family.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm picking up a prescription and last thing, this. And says, okay, and what's the birthday? And I
yeah.
said, mine?
Yeah. The birthday, or they ask you what their name is.
Yeah. What's their name?
Child one, child two.
I was kidding,
but you're like, I don't know their name either.
No. I honestly did not know their birthday. Yeah. I didn't know their birthday. As awful as that, go ahead and judge all you want. I deserve it. I get it. And I said, man, it must have been obvious because she goes, that's okay. I get it.
Yeah.
So wait a minute. You were able to get away with not knowing the birthday, and they still gave you the prescription.
Yeah, that must have looked really.
You look like every other dad that walks in there
exactly.
trying to get that. They're like, we're used to this.
Not me, man. I know all the birthdays.
I know them now, but I have to like really like.
But I also know Big D's birthday and Patrick's and. I know weird things. Patrick is like the repository of all things.
You know his birthday?
Numerical. Patrick's?
Yeah.
I was at his party the other day. Where were you?
Yeah, he came to the birthday party.
I was there 3 years ago. Where were you?
D's on like a five-year cycle. He'll show up.
I was running 3 years late. That's where I was.
Did you show up from the fire station?
Yeah, I did.
Yes,
I did.
In his fireman t-shirt and hat.
Oh,
just
you're the stripper?
Like, just to be that guy.
Yeah, I can't.
He looked like the world's worst stripper.
I hear someone's having a birthday. Sure is hot in here. Let me take this off.
I will say this about remembering numbers and stuff. I used to be really good at it, but the phone has made us dumber. Yeah. I saw a thing on that the other day.
Oh, the smartphone you mean?
Yeah, smartphone. Like... People can't remember one phone number if you say it out loud. And then I'm like, oh, that sucks because I used to be able to just have all that stuff memorized. And apparently, they think it's bringing IQs down because our brains aren't
tuned in to remember stuff.
We're not they're challenged.
I think it's
much.
Into something. I think it's. I don't think it's bringing our IQ down. Maybe it is, but my opinion is it's not. That we are smarter in other things.
We're smarter in other things, but you may not have to memorize phone numbers and birthdays, but
I can multitask.
You're going to need to remember things.
Isn't this
the
plot
of
Idiocracy?
Remembering stuff.
Like, isn't that kind of the way that whole thing came out? Where we all just get Idiocracy, where we all just get dumber.
Technology makes everything so easy, but then we don't know how to do anything. And then we have all this fancy stuff, but nobody knows how to fix it.
And you end up with President Camacho.
Dude, I want to see that State of the Union address. I want to see that.
What is this, a movie?
Yeah, Idiocracy.
I haven't seen it either.
Oh God,
it's dumb. It's
really
it's dumb.
But there's parts of it where you go. It came out like 15 years ago. And you watch it now and go, oh my God.
It's just talking about how celebrity eventually gets bigger and bigger, and so what happens is they have a wrestler who ends up as the president, but he's like still in the height of his career wrestler.
I like that.
40 years later or anything, but
so we do get smarter. I kind of did. That Kane guy won in Tennessee.
He's a wrestler.
He's a professional wrestler. Yeah, he won last night.
Yeah, he won the primary or whatever, right? Yeah. Oh
what?
Wow. Yes.
Yeah.
The guy who used to be Kane.
The guy who used to be Kane.
Used to be the Undertaker's brother.
He won. That's him.
Kayfabe.
Yeah, he won.
Yes, he won.
So we're getting there, man.
Wow.
It's like I remember having a map in my car and pulling it out and opening it and using it to find a place. But I don't think I could do it. Like, I mean, honestly, like I think about when I used to have an atlas or, you know, a fold map.
I still have
whatever.
One behind the seat in my Jeep. I have an atlas. I have a map that's laminated, like a city map. And then I have like some paper maps too.
And I don't know that wasn't better because I was calmer. Now I'm irritated. You know, it's like turn right in 800 feet. Turn to the, and I'm like, wait, this doesn't feel right. I'm so aggravated. Where when I had a map, I was like, who cares? Yeah, I'm lost. I'm supposed to be lost. Yeah. I have a piece of paper to find my way here. I'm not an idiot. They are. But now it's my fault because they're like somebody walks you through it in a British accent all the way to the front door and you can't figure it out. You don't have an out anymore.
No.
You can't be like,
that's right.
Hey, I couldn't find it. It's like, yes, you could. It's like when you can't act like someone didn't call you or text you. Oh, I didn't get that. Yes, you did. It says delivered on my phone. You got it.
Actually
you
says
didn't
red.
Answer. Yeah. And you just don't care. I even saw the bubbles come up where you were supposed to write something and you bailed on that.
You thought about it and then you didn't.
Yeah.
I sent that one time to Lee Bryce. I sent him the little GIF where it looks like the bubbles.
Yeah.
Okay, but it's just that, and it's a white background. So when it pops on someone's phone, it appears that I'm typing something. It just do, 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 do,
and it stays.
And
like
I just sent it to him, and I didn't send anything else. And then a week later, he sends me a text and says, "Boy, you ever going to finish that text?" I had to explain it to him. He goes, oh my gosh, I'm going to save this and send it to my wife.
Dude, I got to find that.
Oh, that's great.
That is great. Because you know somebody, especially if you're arguing with them. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like you just have to sit there and go, blah, 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 blah. Oh, come on, say something. Say something.
And the other night, Kathy and I were laying in bed, and she was, we're talking about bugs or something. And, you know, when you start talking about bugs on you or lice or mosquitoes, you feel it. And I'm like, and I go, oh my God, can you just feel those crawling on the back of your neck right now? Going up into your hair.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, please stop. And I said, all right, well, good night. And so she will turn over, put her back towards me, and then she'll get on her phone or read or something. And I can just see that light, you know? So I find if you Google bug crawling PNG, which is a transparent background, it will send, and it will look like there's a black little bug crawling on their screen when they get the text.
Oh God.
Yeah.
And so I turned over and just sent it secretly, you know, and she goes, I hate you.
Once you get it in your head, I remember I was like 11 years old and I was pitching and one of my buddies was pitching for the other team. And right before I went back out to the mound, he said to me, he goes, hey man, have you ever wondered if you stop breathing? And I was like, what is it? What is that about? What's wrong with him? And I get on the mound and I'm sitting there going like, wait a minute.
Am I breathing wrong?
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, because he got in my head, and I couldn't stop. You know what I mean? And yeah. It throws you
evil
off.
Genius.
Yeah.
Do you believe you could be hypnotized?
I'm kind of in between on that because I've seen people act hypnotized that weren't during shows, but it has to be something to it. You know what I mean? Like I've seen a guy. I saw a guy. I told a guy. Do it. Can I tell a story?
Yeah.
All right, so
I mean that's kind of what we're here for.
No, I know, but it's a little long. So dude, when I was working in Charlotte, North Carolina, all right, and this guy Medicine Hat, who has since passed away, was an X-rated hypnotist, and he was supposed to come in, and he sold out all these Christmas parties and everything all the way through December. So he bailed and couldn't do it. So they like the club owner went through like a phone book and found this other hypnotist, right? Well, all these shows are sold out. This guy Medicine Hat sold tons of tickets. So every show's packed, and he's trying to slip this other guy in. The guy shows up. He has, like, a polyester jacket with, like, glue, and he put glitter on it. And he has red leather pants, and he's from Australia. And he's like, all right, you know, hey, man. And we're going, what are you? You know, what's your deal? And he's like, oh, Medicine Hat canceled, so I'm here to do the whole blah, 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 whatever. So the guy starts the show. He turns the lights off. He throws a firecracker on the stage. His wife is doing the sound, and he hops up, and he's like, hello, everybody. And it's terrible. He's trying to hypnotize people. People aren't going under. It's a nightmare. And he's supposed to be X-rated. He doesn't know what that means. He's done birthday parties for little kids and tried to get people to quit smoking or whatever.
Speaking of, don't forget, your kids are in the next room.
I know. No, I know. Okay. I know. So you're right. I can maneuver around it. So he comes off stage, and the club owner's like, hey, man, this is supposed to – I told you X-rated. You have to be dirty. These people didn't look hypnotized. You don't know what you're doing. You messed another show up like this. You're fired. And he's like, well, I don't know what the – so his wife is like, oh, my God, what are we going to do? And I'm like, hey, man, come here, right? And I'm sitting with a bunch of comics. I'm like, look, what he means is X-rated. When you go back out and you have some other – instead of being like you're a duck, be like you're a duck, you – beep, 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 beep. And he's like, is that what he means? And I'm like, oh, yeah. And the other comics are like, oh, God, Reno. No. No.
And I'm like, yeah. Wait, now, at this moment, are you intentionally setting him up to be worse?
100%.
Without question. We were talking before the podcast started about watching, sometimes comics take joy in watching other comics fail miserably.
Well, especially hypnotists.
Same
especially
with radio, hypnotist. Though.
Especially hypnotists.
Oh, God.
So the next night, he comes back in, and I'm telling him, and all these other comics came in because they heard what I'd said, and they wanted to watch it. So he gets these people. I'm going to clean the language up, but he gets the people up on the stage. They're all sitting there, and they have their heads down, and he walks behind one of them, and he had something in his hand, and he goes, all right, you're a duck, you beep, 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 beep. And he pats the guy in the head, and the guy stands up and goes, hey, man. Beep you, yeah. And he walks off. But before he looked like he was hypnotized. But then as soon as he got called a name, not hypnotized. So I think there's something to it, but it's not.
I really looked into hypnotism as a science and what happens in the brain and why are what is that like? What's happening to the person? Are they because Patrick's been hypnotized before and he always talk about how that. You know you're hypnotized, but you just don't care.
You feel like, hey, I'm going to go along with this.
Like
feel like you're in on it. Like, I know I'm not
really. Well, Patrick was George W. Bush one time, and I swear.
For like 45 minutes on the show.
It was an amazing transformation. He really
was. And in my mind, I knew what was going on, but I felt like I was supposed to stick with like it's
like you couldn't
it really
stop?
Is yeah you feel like this is what I'm supposed to do,
but you feel like you're in on the joke, so you're playing along, like you're almost
kind of
almost like when you're almost asleep,
right?
And you can hear people doing things and it kind of affects your dreams.
Yes,
and the
absolutely yeah. It's that weird kind of people like, did you really think you were the president? Not really, but in my mind I knew I was supposed to be.
It's just that the guys who do it in comedy clubs are normally in like a $50 tuxedo with a green shiny shirt, and it's like,
well, you're talking about this guy who bedazzled his stuff with
Elmer's
glue.
That's why I don't buy it. That it's.
Would you ever let yourself? Be
I'd let somebody
open
give it a shot.
That?
Yeah, I'd let somebody give it a shot, but I don't know that I'd buy it enough to. I always have that like, nah, this isn't real.
I wouldn't let anybody ever do that because I have this feeling like and we've talked about it on the show and I think on the podcast several times. I would not do it because I don't want somebody to implant something in me and I don't know it. And then a church bell rings and I just start going, and you wouldn't know it because if you're hypnotized, you're just doing it like you have Tourette's or something.
I tried.
You can't stop.
I tried to go under.
You did?
Yeah. And it was one of those kind of guys. And it was at a fair in Montana and brought up maybe 15 people. And I sit the whole thing where you sit in a chair in a line and you close your eyes, put your head down, and they go through this little his spiel. And I honestly tried to go out. I tried to just be open to it. And he goes, I'm going to come up to you. If I touch you, I want you to go sit down.
Yeah.
And he comes up to me. He touches me.
Yeah, because he could tell you weren't in.
Yeah. And I'm like, how can he tell? My head is down and my eyes are
just
closed.
Just like everybody else.
Yeah. How would he know that?
But the ability to read people that well.
When you go into hypnosis, really, their eyes are closed. And if you look at them, their eyes are moving inside their eyelids.
Like you're dreaming.
Your eyes roll back up into your eye socket and they flicker like you're dreaming. It's REM.
Right. That's what I was trying to explain.
You're in REM. And that is, to me, just such a crazy, black magic possible
creepy
thing.
Well, you're talking about comedy hypnotists. So I have a friend, the guy who famously did the George Bush thing here on the show was Gary Conrad. It was
he's been around forever.
Yeah. And Gary and I, when years ago, we used to hang out, and he would hypnotize me, and we would go out to clubs. And I trusted him. He was my friend.
Why would he hypnotize
you? Because, this is when I was
for
20.
Confidence?
No, yeah.
You wake up in a wig and you're in a dress. It's like,
but
had a great time.
Thing.
Thanks,
that's
Gary.
That's the thing when you know.
I can't walk straight, yeah. Gary.
No. Man, you guys got to be dirty. No.
It hurts when I go woo-woo.
Every time the Village People play, I start crying. What'd you do, Gary?
Man, gosh.
This
why
isn't
in the world would you let someone do that?
This was when I was in my early 20s, and I had no confidence. And so one night, he was like, listen, do you trust me? Let me put a little money out, and we'll go out to the nightclub across the street and see if it works. I did. But I tell you what, I remember the whole thing. And
did
I remember,
you have the confidence, or did you just believe you had the confidence?
I felt like I had to do it.
But what if he didn't even hypnotize you and he just said, you are more confident? And then you go, confident.
It was little things. It was instructions. It was I had to talk to any woman who looked at me, who made eye contact, and I had to talk to her.
Oh, he was doing it to try to help you get confidence.
Yeah, because I couldn't talk to girls in bars. And he knew this, and we had talked about it a lot. And he goes, listen, we're going to go to the nightclub across the street. And if you let me, I'll put in your. You know, we were there for 3 hours. I talked to every woman in the place. God. I left with six phone numbers. Yeah. And it was like I was I've never in my life before or since had that kind of, you know.
But game. when he did it, what were you thinking? But when he's putting you under, are you? What are your?
And
thoughts?
I had been put under before. I'm really eccentric and really outgoing, and I'm also susceptible. So. As my buddy, he'd be like, you know, yeah, if you come to the show, I'm gonna pull you up. That's fine. I don't mind. And I know I'm funny. So I know that it hypnotize me will be funny.
Right.
You know, as more funny than, you know, Joe the plumber or whoever. So I had been put under before, and this was one of those things where it was just like, you know what? Yeah, this is, I've done it. I'm not afraid of it.
So did he take you, so when you went back.
Yeah, so it's after the show. It's after a show one night. It's like 10 o'clock. We're hanging out. We're having a drink. He goes, listen. Go back into the comedy club, okay, when there's no one around. I'm going to put you under real quick. You know, I'm going to give you a few instructions of how to talk to these women, and then we're going to go into the nightclub. I'm like, you know what? Let's give it a shot. Let's see how this works. I mean, it was 15 years ago, but I still remember walking around that place like I owned it.
Did he undo it?
Yeah.
Too bad. Well,
or did he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, because you can't leave me like that. I was way over the top. But at the same time,
but
it fit for that situation. But I learned a lot from it. Like it's one of those things where I kept some of it.
Yeah.
you know.
Because you wouldn't go out and do that. You wouldn't do that on your own.
No. And, and we're talking about like 23-year-old me. I would never talk to a woman in a bar I didn't know unless she started talking to me first, you know. But I really wouldn't do it. Now I'll talk to anybody, you know. It really kind of changed my whole thing. So you can learn stuff through it. How people do, you know, weight loss stuff through. I've tried to book somebody to come on and hypnotize me to tell me not to eat fried chicken, but I haven't been able to get anybody to come on the show yet.
Do you ever talk to Gary?
You know, Gary and I are friends on Facebook. I haven't talked to him in a while. I sent him an invitation to the podcast a couple of minutes ago. I don't know if he got it, but God, he just sent me a message. I'm not kidding. I am performing at Chattanooga's Comedy Catch all this week. There you go.
That's a comic.
A little plug.
Dude, that is a total. His plug.
Have you ever heard this story about Carl LeBeau at Sam Kinison's funeral?
No.
So Carl LeBeau is a comic that used to be in the Outlaws of Comedy with Kinison or whatever. So they're at Kinison's funeral, and he's supposed to get up and do the eulogy. So he's sitting in the thing, and he's bawling his eyes out. Everybody's crying, and he gets up to walk up to go do the, and he stops and he turns around and he just falls and he's crying, and the guys pick him up and are trying to pull him towards it, and he keeps trying to get back to the pew, and finally he's like okay, and he walks up and he gets there and he's wiping the tears away and he goes, I just want to let everybody know that I'm going to be at the Funny Bone in St. Louis from Thursday.
That's so great.
That's fantastic. Oh, God.
It's such a comic thing.
It is.
Hey, you want to go? Hey, tell everybody I'm going to be at the Funny. I'd love that.
But you know what? You're still telling that story, so it's genius.
It's just brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant.
But with the hypnotism, like, I can't fall asleep at night. So sometimes I'll get on YouTube or whatever, and I download, like, sleep hypnosis or something that's supposed to talk you into going to sleep. I can't even get through that. It's like, you're laying beside a stream, and my brain's like, no, you're not. And it's like, there's a deer, and I'm like, shoot it. I don't even, this is stupid. Why am I laying here? And then I'm up later because my brain's like, why am I even listening to this? What's wrong with the, you know, I don't know if it's ADD or what it is, but.
Have you ever listened to the ASMR stuff?
What's that?
ASMR is like sound effects on YouTube or wherever you go and get it.
I have rain and...
Oh, no. This is like way weirder. Office sound effects. It's or like, people, you know, cracking their knuckles. Like
cutting paper.
You hear, okay, I will now crack my pinky.
To go to sleep or just a weird job?
I don't know.
Like,
I don't
have a friend
this.
Who does this, who listens to this to go to sleep. I think that's just because he's weird. I don't... there are people... It's a fetish that some people have.
On one of the apps I have, there's like a Shih Tzu snoring.
The and dog?
It's a dog. It's just like, let me see if I can find it.
You're the one person who got that. Bought that app.
Well, the rest of it is like rain, ocean waves, thunderstorm, crackling fire, white noise.
Why would you leave that as a, that's just when they just run out of stuff.
Yeah.
They're just like, okay, anybody got anything else?
Seagulls over water, blizzard wind, Shih Tzu snoring, cat purring, Mississippi at night. I wonder what that's like. Hey, man, get out of my yard. Dog and cat. A dog and a cat together. Airliner, train, dishwasher, clothes dryer, laundromat. Who sleeps in a laundromat?
You know, people have, so, like,
I think
everyone
I've slept
has,
in a laundromat.
I mean, I think we all have smells or sounds that are, you know, nostalgic to us that aren't nostalgic to, you know, anyone else. You know, like, I enjoy the smell of a window unit air conditioner blowing right in my face. And
is there a smell to that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there is.
There's that Freon cold, wet smell.
Poisonous.
Yeah. Yeah. That poisonous smell, yeah. I love it. I don't know, but I got it because of, you know, growing up.
I like the smell of car exhaust. That helps me sleep.
I enjoy going in the garage, shutting the doors. Yeah. And
it helps you sleep better than you know.
Nobody?
I sleep it's rim. God. I get right to that rim.
I do want to say this again because you brought it up, and this is something, okay, I don't know if you know, I became a firefighter. So I'm doing volunteer firefighting after the show. And something I learned is that now that everybody has buttons to start and stop your car, people are dying from carbon monoxide poisoning because they'll pull into their house and they'll get out of their car and they'll go upstairs and they'll go to sleep.
Yeah.
And the garage is shut. Well, what happened is they forget to turn their car off because we don't have a key to take out. You know, the key that opens your door lock.
Yeah.
So they forget their car on, and it just fills the house with carbon monoxide, and they die in their sleep.
Do the firemen, because I met this fireman, I was talking about not being able to sleep, and he goes, get a CPAP. And I'm like, I don't know if I have sleep apnea. He goes, it doesn't matter. He goes, when in his firehouse, he said that they're just hanging on the walls and that all the guys that sleep at the firehouse take them and put them on every night. Do they do that there?
No, I've not.
Yeah, he's like, he goes, you'll never sleep. He goes, I don't have it. He goes, you'll never sleep like you sleep with one of those things on.
Because it's just pure, is it just oxygen?
I guess so. Yeah, I guess it's forcing the oxygen into. I don't know exactly how they work. I mean, I've heard them. My stepdad has one.
Dude, there's nothing. If you have a problem sleeping, there's nothing better than getting two liquid gel NyQuils and popping those suckers about 30 minutes before you brush your teeth, before you go to bed.
Yeah.
So kind of think about it. Boom, take it. Let 30 minutes go by. Brush your teeth. Get ready. Make the room nice and cold. Have a fan blowing on you. Get your pillows just right to your head's at kind of a little angle or however you sleep. And then that feeling, it's like a fuzzy, goofy feeling.
Right.
And it just kind of hits you and you're like, oh.
Elvis knew that feeling well.
Yeah.
You're like,
put aluminum foil over the windows.
Trains are coming.
Yeah.
Here we go. You can just hear the. It gets louder and louder. And then all of a sudden you're just like. You feel like Homer Simpson, you know, when he sleeps and he kind of drifts, he floats off his bed and he goes flying through. That's what you feel like. Or the Big Lebowski in the dream scene when he gets hit, you know.
Yeah. You don't drink the NyQuil?
I can't drink it. It's too nasty.
Yeah.
I like to just stick the NyQuil, the pills.
The bottle comes with a free shot glass.
It does.
That's kind of cool.
It is kind of neat. Thoughtful.
Commemorative.
I don't even take Tylenol. Like, I don't take any medicine. That's how you know, like, I mean, Patrick, how many times, because Patrick has all the medicine cabinet stuff here. How many times have I come to you for aspirin or anything like that?
In the last 20 years, twice.
Wow. I mean, so it's, you know, it's
big
bad
deal
if
about
it happens.
Once a week. You know, like,
I steal
like,
it when he's not around.
But I also don't have a problem sleeping. Like, I can fall asleep. If doing this podcast, I could fall asleep.
Really?
I could lay down on the floor. You guys could continue, and you'll hear me snoring within 4 minutes, 5 minutes.
Dude, I could stay up for days.
I like my sleep.
I love it. I just can't. And it's weird because it's only at night. My best sleep is from 8 o'clock in the morning to 9 o'clock in the morning.
Really?
Guess what's happening next week, boys.
And the rest of it's
what?
Is he coming in?
Yeah.
Oh, Gary?
Yep, that's happening next week on the show. So
Reno, look what you did.
Look, see? That
look
started.
What you, did.
You brought up hypnotists, and we went there, and then
you changed?
What?
Your whole body changed when you found out.
You
no,
did.
I just...
Dude,
oh,
look
no,
at
the
smile
you know
on his face.
We haven't done this in 10 years.
Play dress up?
Yeah, the last time...
The last time we did this...
The good part about this is I actually trust Gary. I don't trust them. If it was some other hypnotist with the two of them in the room going, dude, telling me thinks his ear is a piece of chicken. You know, I don't know.
He's over there trying to rip it off.
Tell him to lick his elbow. Tell him to lick his elbow. I trust my buddy won't do that to me. But these two with some other hypnotist, that would be dangerous. But no, the last time we did this, George W. Bush was president. When was that? 10 years ago?
10 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
So and we still talk about it, so it was clearly hilarious. So I think
To me it was funny, but I'm so fascinated by how the brain works.
It was convincing. Yeah. It was
he
more
wants
than,
to know if
more
he
than,
can hypnotize Big D.
I'll try.
All right. See, there you go.
And by the way, Gary, in case you're interested, no, Bubba is not a game.
Whatever.
Ever.
This, whatever. You know, it's.
I just when you're done,
I love to talk to him about just. If I wonder if he's done any. He knows all the. He's been doing it forever.
Oh yeah,
you got to come back next week now. You and Gary both, and we could all have. We could hypnotize Reno Collier, and Patrick at the same time, and make you guys do the dirty dancing dance.
See, Reno has a.
Am I lifting?
Reno has a.
I think it has to be me. If
I was going
to
say, I don't think you want to lift Patrick.
You don't want to lift me, bro.
You have an interesting thing about you. Your psychology of you. You're skittish about stuff. I think it's funny to me is that even though you're a comedian and you do silly stuff and on stage, I also feel that you're kind of afraid to look silly.
When I'm not in control of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I'm in control, if I feel like I'm in control of it, like I don't drink anymore, but I used to love like just acting like, but I thought I was in, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I can do it as long as I'm the one doing it. Yeah. If I'm like a puppet, like a marionette, then my brain automatically will take me where I can't buy into that. That's why I don't think I could be hypnotized.
Yeah. I'm very similar to that.
I don't like the loss of control either.
I used to hate it when we did more, I don't want to say stunts, because stunts are a different thing. But when we do setup, when we do stuff where it was like, go out and talk to random people and, you know, try to set them up to do this or knock on people's doors and ask them where.
God, do you remember we used to do that?
I hated that feeling.
Knock on people's doors. Can I take a shower at your house? I mean, that stuff happened.
I really hated it. First of all, that type of, you know, radio isn't what we do anymore. But also, I just hated the feeling. I hated it. Because the unpredictability of it. Because I think we can take any situation and make it amusing or make it interesting.
Yeah,
but when you're dealing with someone who doesn't know what's going on,
it's dangerous.
There's an element of danger.
Well, it almost feels to me like it would be like I got drugged. You know what I mean? Like if somebody slipped something in a cup of coffee. Yeah, it's like somebody did it to me, and I don't have any control. Right.
Have you ever seen somebody who's been roofied?
Myself.
Oh, you have?
No.
Oh,
I don't. I don't know. Something happened one night where I had to go. I went right back to the hotel, and I felt like I was.
My wife and I went out to dinner one night, and somebody slipped her something at the restaurant, and it was crazy, man.
Yeah.
Like, she went from having, you know, not even finishing the margarita she was drinking to completely inebriated within 30 minutes.
Yep.
And then incredibly sick, like profuse vomiting and everything within the hour.
Yeah.
And out of it. I mean, I didn't realize what was going on. I thought she was just having a reaction.
It feels like the flu. I was in Vegas.
She was in bed for 2 days.
Yeah. I was in Vegas and I finished a show. I had a beer. I was sitting with some people that were at the show. I started feeling like I was out of, and I was like, I'm getting the flu or something. Like you get dizzy and you feel kind of clammy.
So you didn't feel like you were getting drunk or anything like that?
Went to my room, I started feeling like just way out of it, way more than, and I used to be able to really put them away. One beer is not a, you know.
Right.
And it just went, so I, and a buddy of mine who's an auctioneer was in Vegas, was sitting with a couple. His wife was with him. They started talking or whatever. Then they started talking to my buddy Marty, who didn't drink, they bought him a beer, he never drank it. They start talking about, hey, why don't you guys come up to our room and we'll order some room service? His wife started being like, okay. And he's like, wait a minute, what is going on? And they're like, just come up, help my wife come up to the room. And they were trying to get him. And thank God Marty didn't drink it. I shouldn't have said his name. But was like, no, we're at. And so he took his wife and he said his wife was just. Yeah. So he thinks that it was like they were going to scam him.
Yeah,
get him to sit there. They put something in the drink, and then get him to come up to their room, rob him. Maybe it wasn't their room. He didn't know what it was.
Wake up in a tub with no kidney.
Yeah, and with no kidney. Yeah, note. It's a wow. Thanks and lipstick on the mirror.
We were in an event. We were at a music industry event, and someone hit my girlfriend with that thing. Remember, we were all together, sitting on the couch. Remember, I don't want to say what event because I don't want to give it a bad name. But you know the big thing we do in February.
Yeah, sometimes.
So we were there, and everything was fine. She had one drink, and then she was sitting on the couch, and she was like, I can't hold my head up. I feel like I'm going to faint.
It feels like. It feels like you're going
to
pass out.
And then
out.
I had to carry, like, basically walk her out, and then when
we got... Oh, this was this last one,
yeah,
was it?
Yeah, we got into to a lift, and then when we got back to the office, she couldn't get out of the car. And she was like...
Oh, I remember that.
It was this very strange, like she had had 10 whiskeys, you know, and she had had one drink and it was bad. It was really bad. I was like, wow, I've never actually seen it.
You really have to see it
and you go, oh, okay. And we were at a party and you're putting your drinks down and there's all kind of people around and then, mm-hmm.
Well, what I was going to say is you really have to trust who you're hanging out with, because now you have to hang out with people. You don't have to worry about them slipping you something. You have to make sure that they're going to take care of you when somebody else does. You know, that's I think, a scary thing, man. I couldn't imagine being in that, because I don't really go out to bars and stuff, you know, not anymore. But I couldn't imagine having that in front of me, where you have that fear of, okay, is this going to be the night somebody knocks me out?
Dude, and if you have kids, I mean, that scares the life out of me, thinking about my kids going to a party or something in high school. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
people are freaking weirdos. You really have to watch. I don't know, I'm trying to turn this into a public service announcement, but you really have to keep your hand on your own stuff and not set things down and walk away from anything. And it's sad.
It is sad.
So he's how we got super serious.
Yeah.
Yeah, it shows all our
we have depth, we have range. Yeah, that's right.
So, Reno, you're a comedian, and you have a comedy special you want to talk about.
Yeah, what's that? What's
tell
that
us
a comedy
about your
special?
Funny thing.
Something on presale?
Woo-hoo. Yeah, I got an album called Monkey that went on presale day before yesterday.
Okay, why? Why is it called Monkey?
I just have this thing about monkey. They just make me laugh. Like when I was in like fourth grade, and I don't mean to talk about them. But for some reason, like, I'm still baffled about us firing monkeys into space. And, like, they couldn't find somebody better. You know, like, the most brilliant science. I just don't believe in science, first of all. I think science is fake. I think it's all made up.
Yeah, science somebody, is fake?
Yeah, it's stupid. It changes all the time. It's like history. History changes. When I was a kid, Christopher Columbus was a hero. We got a day off of school for the guy. You remember that?
Yeah.
We were singing poems. Columbus sailed the ocean. Now they're like, he's an idiot. He's a jerk. Yeah. He was lost. His wife said, make a left. He made a right. He's looking for the West Indies. He gets off the ship and he kills all the Indians. It's like, good God.
Yes.
At least I got half off my mattress.
Yeah, I know. You're right.
And same with science. Science is, they just make it up as we go. You know, years ago, if you had the flu, they'd slit your wrist and bleed you. You know, but they were the smartest people at the time.
That's right.
And now we're supposed to buy in. Like when teachers are like, hey, boys and girls, open up your books, page 52, you know, and they're like, all right, kids, check this out. A long time ago, all y'all used to be monkeys, right? Then you turned into this Chewbacca carnival freak show looking dude, and now you're all people. Next chapter, move on, no questions. They don't want you to ask any questions because they don't have any answers. How come monkeys are the only animals that ever got to turn into people? How come there's no two-legged giraffe with a short neck walking around smoking cigarettes? Because it's stupid.
I've never given it any kind of thought.
Not to mention
like
the
that.
Fact we still got monkeys. What, that guy used to be a duck? That's ridiculous. The science teacher lady came up to me after a show one time, right? She's like, excuse me. That's how they talk, right? Excuse me. Can I talk to you if I was talking? And I'm like, God.
Dead on science teacher
what?
Impersonation.
It is.
Dead on.
That's millennial. Except for Miss Schutz. Miss Schutz was amazing. Miss Schutz, if you're watching
Bubba's,
this.
Science
if you're
teacher,
watching this, Miss Schutz, you're
hot.
The best ever.
Yeah, she was hot?
Yeah. Yeah, she was hot.
Okay, so go
like,
on.
I've never seen a picture of Miss Schutz, but in my mind,
Miss Schutz
you
is
just
hot.
Was hot.
Okay. So she's like, she goes, we've always had monkeys just like we do now. It's just that a long time ago, a group of the monkeys broke away from the other monkeys to become people. So these monkeys stayed monkeys and these monkeys became people.
That does sound crazy.
I'd have loved to have been at that campfire. You know what I mean? Just, I'm sick of this crap. I want to be a dude. You know? We didn't come from monkeys.
Yeah, you're right.
Wow.
You're right, though. They change. It's like, hey, apples are bad for you. Apples are good for you. Coffee's bad for you. Coffee's good for you. It changes all the time.
Have you looked at Common Core math? They're not even doing math anymore.
I can't even try. I tried and I got fussed at. My kids were like, Dad, no, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, like 6 + 6 is now like, well, you have to take 2 divided into this, 2 divided into the. No, just you have 10 fingers, add 2, 12. Okay, I'm out.
That's it.
Yeah, you just have to know how to count. They have it because it's stupid. It's fake. My kids, I told them math was. My son's like, what's Y? I'm like, I don't know. We were looking for it when I was a kid, too.
Don't know what it
no
is.
No one finds it.
No one ever
that's
finds
part
it.
Of the game.
They keep changing it.
What's X? 1/3 of a dirty movie? I don't know.
Almost there.
Very weak moonshine.
Yeah.
Very weak.
Well, it's did you ever think about homeschooling your kids at any time?
Yeah. My kids go to Catholic school, which, by the way, is – if you can ever go see a little kid Catholic school basketball game, It's hilarious because all the kids are named after people in the Bible. So when, you know, they're like, Matthew, pass it to Mark. Mark, pass it to John. Don't give it to Judas. He'll steal the ball. You know, like, but if they weren't there, I'd homeschool them.
We did it for, well, our oldest is still homeschooled, and he'll graduate this year. Our youngest, it wasn't for him.
There's so many outlets that you have now if you homeschool your kids. My stepsisters both homeschooled their kids. And yeah. People go, well, there's no social. Yeah, there is.
No, there's tons.
There's tons of it. Yeah. It's not social in the school environment, but I'd rather, if my kids can learn from going to a science museum with a bunch of other kids, then they play Little League. What's the difference?
I always find that the people who always are anti or, you know, want to argue against doing it, they always bring up the whole, yeah, but they don't have a social thing. But every single homeschool kid that I know are way better socially than any kid who goes to high school.
Do you know what you just did? You just answered my whole gun control argument. This is the same kind of thing. You have people who don't know something about whatever the topic is chiming in telling you how bad that topic is. Well, why don't you get involved and try the topic out? Whatever it is, whether it's homeschooling, go fire a gun, learn about them, do these things. If you don't know what you're talking about, you don't need to be talking about it.
Exactly.
You don't need to hate on homeschooling if you've never tried it.
Yeah.
This after we just listened to Reno tell us how monkeys did not turn into people.
They didn't turn into people.
I also say mayonnaise. You don't need to try mayonnaise to know that it's awful.
I love mayonnaise. Dude, mayonnaise is great.
My daughter, when she was probably 7, Emily, right? I can't stand big scoops of mayonnaise. If I see them, I dry heave in my mouth, right?
That's awful.
So I was telling her, I was like, I hate like watching people scoop mayonnaise. And I hate birds in people's houses. Right? And I can't, it freaks me out.
Caged birds?
Yeah, like a bird pooping on a newspaper. I'm just like, get this thing out of the house. It's not supposed to be in the house. And Walmart on Saturday mornings will give me an anxiety attack, like almost call the ambulance. I'm having a heart attack. I got to get out. I have no idea. People banging carts and the whole thing. So I'm telling her, I'm like, look, I'm not going to Walmart. She goes, so let me get, she's like 7. She goes, let me get this straight. If you walked into Walmart and there was a parrot scooping mayonnaise, your head would explode. And I'm like, that is exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, there are certain things, man, that will skeeze me too, man.
Well, like, anything egg-based, like mayonnaise, Big D can't handle. Like, you don't like eggs.
He doesn't like eggs at all.
He doesn't like eggs.
No, that's not true. I like scrambled eggs.
Yeah.
But I can't stand hard-boiled eggs.
I can't eat the middle part.
What?
It's too nasty.
It's pasty.
You guys don't like deviled eggs?
No.
Yes. I do like deviled eggs, but it's whipped. And I'll eat mayonnaise on like a BLT, but if it's a big scoop of it and somebody slings it, I'll barf. I swear to God, I'll
As
throw
long as
it.
You don't see it slung, you're good.
Yeah, smear it really thin so it just looks like, you
chicken
know, it's glue.
Salad, egg salad, tuna salad, any salad. Of that stuff. I can't.
Oh,
I love all that. How about when you take a piece of aluminum foil and you put it up into a ball? And then stick it in your mouth and chew on it.
Yeah.
Oh man, that makes every cell in my body just
Doesn't
go
sparks,
dude. That's what I always think about when I see someone with their tongue pierced. I'm like, what happens when that thing taps a filling? Does your whole head just?
They start listening to the radio.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. This is the new Jason Aldean song. I like this one.
Yeah.
My youngest son, he can't handle styrofoam being squeaking against each other.
The noise. Oh, I don't like that either.
Yeah.
I've never thought about it, but I got...
My thing is paper. I can't put paper in my mouth.
Oh, I can't put paper in his
mouth.
Like,
you know those... everybody's getting rid of straws, so now they're going to paper straws. I'm like, that's hell for me.
Yeah.
A paper, any kind of... like, and I'll do it, and it... Watch.
Oh, do it.
Do it, do it.
Like, it's weird because like, I'm salivating. Like this.
Oh.
Look at this. What is
it? Something about paper on his tongue.
Can you, do you not like to watch other people do it either?
No.
We had a manager.
He also hates fingernails.
It was the folding paper, creasing paper with your fingers. It would drive him crazy. And I hope he's watching right now because I'm just folding this
piece
of paper.
Hey, Keith, look.
Look, Keith.
You know how you can tell like special interest people just run in circles and are wasting their time? Is years ago, it used to be don't cut down trees.
Right.
Stop killing trees.
Right. We got rid of paper bags. Plastic bags.
With plastic. Now it's like, no, we got to get rid of the plastic straws. You know what? We're going to help the environment. We're going to make them out of wood.
All right. Wait.
Paper's made. You're cutting down trees to make these things.
Have y'all seen the numbers on the straws? Okay. So you know about the number it's like 500 million a day
First of all,
or whatever.
Totally made up.
Okay. But wait. It's an estimate. It's an estimate.
It's an estimate comes from a survey done by a 9-year-old.
Right.
Okay, good job.
But the plastic that makes it into the oceans, 95% of it comes from what is it? It's China and I want to say Africa.
Yeah.
Which means the rest of the world, all of North America, all of South America, all of Europe, Antarctica, you name it, is responsible for the other 5%. So
the
how
United
much of
States
that
is responsible for half of 1% of trash that ends
up. Now then take that and figure out how much impact the straws have.
Dude, it's American problem.
I saw have you ever, a video of a straw in
there was
a turtle's nose. Have they
you ever,
pulled the
did
straw
you ever hear,
out of the turtle's nose.
Did you ever hear Chris Rock do that bit about going to Africa?
No.
He goes, in our country, he goes, people run around like, don't eat red meat. Don't eat red meat. He goes, F that. Don't eat green meat. He goes, red meat. He goes, you go to Africa and people, you're fat. You know, here it's like, oh my God, he's fat. You go to Africa, they're like, hey, man. How you get like that?
You're the king.
You know, it's a total like our prop people that the stuff people complain about is so remedial. I went to Africa on a
so
USO
well
tour.
Fed.
Yeah, I went to Africa on a USO to Djibouti, right? And when we were leaving to go back to the airport, people, our homeless people in Nashville have a dog and drink Starbucks and smoke cigarettes. That's not home. That's not like a. You go to another. Go to Mexico, and see people who actually are starved. Like it's just blows my mind. We're so spoiled.
Little kids riding around with a carton full of cholera on a stick that they're trying to sell you.
You think a starving kid in Africa cares whether or not Starbucks has a plastic straw?
No.
Go on a mission trip. Go look at the way other people live and then come back and run around.
Well, there's a video going around right now, Greg Gutfeld doing a monologue about how, so you fixed all the other problems with, you know, drug abuse and homelessness and your absolute ridiculous debt. And so, let's tackle straws.
Los Angeles is in the biggest debt of all. There's people living in tents all over the streets everywhere, and their biggest problem is straws. They have no water. They have nobody heading TV networks. They're all gone.
I love how San Francisco now has a problem with poop on the streets because they outlawed the plastic bags at the grocery stores. So now, you know, that's where the homeless people used to go. They would put it in that, and they would tie it up, and they would leave it out on the corner.
Which
and it would
is
go
very
and get,
polite and thoughtful
yes,
homeless people
very,
to poop in
very
plastic
polite
bags.
And thoughtful.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so they used to – that's how the problem was taken care of. Now they outlaw those little things, so they're just like, well, just all right here on the sidewalk.
Now it's going to turn into pranks. They're going to have to poop in paper bags, catch them on fire, knock on your door. It just goes full circle. That's
you have
all
a fire problem.
Really. Yeah.
Okay, so let me circle back around to help your thing. So Monkey is out now.
It's on pre-sale on iTunes, and you can order it now. It officially comes out September 21st.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, man. And I'm doing a comedy thing for Our Home, which is a veterans organization that I – and you guys have been so nice to let me come on before our golf tournament for a Soldier's Child. Every year,
which is great.
It's I love it, man, and it's a nonprofit I work with all the time. Well, the guys from Our Home, which help veterans when they get back, kind of get readjusted and help find jobs and work with PTSD, find doctors, stuff like that. They put a comedy tour together called Veterans of Comedy, where I'm going to host it and close it out. But there's three other comedians who are all veterans. We'll see guys that have been in the military that became comics, and we're doing a tour. Going through
who's with
Nashville,
you this time?
Huntsville. It's a guy we'll see. Is the guy who got me into it. He was in Gone Girl. He's in Arrested Development. He's been on a ton of TV shows, and I don't think I'm allowed to say exactly what the next movie he's in.
Okay.
Let me see who's on the other guys that are on this with me.
Is he in the new Top Gun?
Dakota. I don't know.
Do you know the new Top Gun coming up?
Did I just guess it right?
Is there another Top Gun?
Oh, yeah, it's coming.
They're doing Top Gun Part 2.
Tom Cruise is in it?
Yeah, it's not a reboot. It's a sequel. It's like supposed to be, 30 years in the future.
Yeah.
Have you seen Kelly McGillis?
She's not in it.
She's not going to be in it. Neither is Val Kilmer.
Well, no, Val Kilmer is in it. Oh. Apparently, he's lost a bunch of weight and gotten himself healthy.
In the storyline,
does
he get stung by bees?
That's right, Iceman.
We lost pressurization, and now I've exploded.
I'll always be your wingman.
That's a new one. And also, I saw Magnum P.I. That is coming out in the fall.
That's terrible. Out now.
Is that already?
Yeah, it's out already. I haven't watched it just because,
How can people find out about where the tour is, like the dates?
You can find out
on your website, or
my website is actually coming right back up day after tomorrow because of the album coming out. We had to, the guy had to take it down to put a bunch of stuff up. But you can go to ourhome.com. And
are you really doing this?
Yes, I am. Okay. But I just signed on for it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He has all the information.
Sponsors. It's called Our H period O period M period E, and the Veterans of Comedy. If you go on, if you Google Veterans.
Wait,
of Comedy,
what is it? Up. You just lost me. It's what?
You're not very good.
Our
at this.
Home. Well, here's the. Let me. I'll just be honest with you. The guy, the comedians from Our Home, agreed to come and support a Soldier's Child and play in my golf tournament.
Okay.
That I have. So I wanted to do a solid back for them. So they told me about the organization. They just did shows at the Air Force Academy, and we're going to be in Nashville, October.
You said Huntsville. 5th,
then Huntsville, then Little Rock, Monroe, Louisiana, where it's based out of. And the money that's made from the shows, they support Our Home, and Our Home is the group of people that helps the veterans.
And what is the site? One more time.
Our Home.
Dot vet.
Ourhome.vet?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay, there you go.
Ourhome.vet. You can go there and get all the information on Our Home.
I feel like I'm cheating on a Soldier's Child. Isn't that weird? Like, when you're involved, you guys do nonprofit
stuff.
Yeah,
we do. Like, we do stuff sometimes for Make-A-Wish.
Yeah.
And we're very involved with St. Jude. So it's kind of like, you know, you kind of feel a little dirty doing both.
You do. It's
but,
the weirdest
thing. But you're like,
thing.
You're going, well, I'm helping, though. It's not like I'm, yeah, it is weird.
Yeah, you it's like don't forget about a Soldier's Child, but come see the shows for Our Home. You know, and it's weird. I have this conflict in my head, like, don't undercut your own.
Yeah.
You've guys don't so even know. Good. But I, our sales team was approached to do quick commercials for a charity. I won't say which one, but... they asked if we were involved with any charities. And so I always send them this, and I say, and Big D and Bubba are on the board of the St. Jude Radio Advisors. So there's a board of advisors for the St. Jude Radio fundraising, and Big D and Bubba are on the board. And I said that like it was a
positive?
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, of course. And this charity, they should think that's great because St. Jude isn't, does all this research and stuff, and the salespeople came back and go, no, it's a conflict of interest, so we can't do the stuff. I'm like, what? How? I didn't think charities could have conflict of interest. Like, I understand if we endorsed Coke, we can't do commercials for Pepsi. Like, I get that's a conflict
Pepsi's
of
better.
Interest. But
totally better.
Mm-hmm. You're both wrong.
Pepsi's way better.
I will fight.
I didn't realize.
I will stab you with a plastic straw.
Yeah, you didn't realize that the charities were real. Well, they're, I mean,
well,
think about
I
it. They're
just
competing
didn't
for
they
dollars.
Were that competitive. They're like, oh no, you're involved with that charity. You can't work with us. Really? Okay. Oh well. Okay. I was all about it. I'm like, yeah, we can do both.
That's because unfortunately, a lot of charities are heavy in paying people to be involved in it, and they have a job. Mm-hmm. Where they're making money every year and they have to get so many people, but you can't have these people. It turns into a bureaucracy.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. And I'm not trying to dismiss any charity. I mean, it's all what it is, but some of them, it's like, good God, man, you guys are, you see those people going to Vegas for a huge part, and it's like, why are you even working with a charity?
Yeah.
Use your own money. What do you?
Yeah. Hey, coming up after the podcast, we're about to wrap it up here. We're going to introduce you to a friend of ours named Aaron, who we've gotten to know. Get this, man. This guy.
This is only on the audio version of the podcast. It's not on the video one that's on Facebook.
Yeah, this guy fights
sex trafficking
with kids, and he will go into a foreign country and play the part of the guy who's looking. Yeah, a creep, basically. Looking for, kid.
Action.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they meet up. They do the deal.
Don't tell too much because we're going to put it right after all this.
Okay. And so they do the deal, and and then they come in and they bust them.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He works with the government and all that. So it's pretty fascinating. We'll do that after the
I should have never.
put the paper,
that paper in my mouth. It's been messing with me for 15 minutes now. Like, I still feel it. It's nasty. Stupid paper straws. Damn you, paper straws.
They're coming, man.
Monkeys.
Get used to it. Reno, thanks for coming in, man.
Dude, I love you guys. Thanks for having me. It's good to see you.
And ourhome.vet is where they can go and they can get involved and find all that stuff. And then
asoldierschild.org.
I was going to get the other one out. There you go. Now you're not cheating.
I know.
It's like having a wife and a girlfriend at the same time.
Hopefully
they'll get along.
I almost feel like an idiot because it sounds, I think, passive aggressive, where it's like, oh, you know, I work with so many charities that it's hard. You know, I feel like I'm cheating on one charity to help it. I'm really not that good of a person. Just wanted to throw, I need forgiveness.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, boys.
Enjoy it. And thanks to our podcast sponsor.
Yes, O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. See, we only have one sponsor. That way it doesn't have to compete with another sponsor because that would be like cheating. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Oh, wait. You know what I forgot?
The theme song? I was waiting for it.
This was the podcast, but now it's over, but that's okay. Sing, you can listen to the regular show. Sing on the radio every day. It was the podcast.
Buckshot slug, buckshot slug, buckshot slug, and she's covered.
Hey, Aaron Spradling is in the studio with us. Aaron is... has a really unique job. Welcome to the show, Aaron. Good to see you, man.
Good to see you. Thank you.
So tell us what you do.
Internationally, we rescue children. Domestically, we investigate the rescue of children.
We were talking to a bud of ours. We have a mutual friend in Judd, and he was saying that you will go into a country and pose as someone who's looking to buy trades, however you do it.
Who's interested in sex trafficking.
Actually, just the act. That's the easiest way to get into it. You walk in the door and all of a sudden, I mean, as soon as you land in the country, it's within half hour, 45 minutes.
Are you kidding me?
No. And it's easy because they're looking for the gringo that looks like he might have some money. And you walk in, like Peru, Dominican, wherever, and they start approaching. And
so So you're saying they, as soon as you land in whatever this country is that you may be in at that day, they approach you and start saying, Hey,
what do you need?
Wow.
What are you looking for? You want girls? You want drugs? You want a car to drive? I mean, it's a concierge service, but that's included.
So what happens after that?
So what you do is you set up a time, you set up a party. Okay, the whole time you're just playing the guy that's the sicko, and you get him to agree to it. They come to a price. It's a car deal.
A la carte. Yeah, I want
this.
I want this.
It's more for a virgin. So, you know, instead of $1,500, it's $3,000 for a virgin. And they market it that way, and then you set up the party. You go in. The money exchanges hands. You do a signal. Next thing you know, the federal police come in the door, and everybody goes to jail.
Wow.
Wow. It's pretty crazy.
Wow, and you work with the police agencies of the respective countries that you're in.
The federal authorities are who invite the group in. When I go in with Operation Underground Railroad, which is the largest in the world rescue group, and probably one of my favorite group of people in the world.
Concerned, though, like that somebody in that country could potentially turn you in? Like, let's say you go in and you're working with the agency. Are you worried that maybe there's somebody like a mole who could say, look, this guy is whatever, take him out kind of thing?
That's always there, but the majority kind of rules. And because it's such a problem, so if you've got one bad apple and 100 apples, they're not going to risk being the one that rolled. And you're dealing with the federal, you're dealing with the prosecuting attorneys, their version of the DA. You have all of these people working with you in order to try to put a damper on the problem. And it's huge.
How can people help you do this through financial help? How can we get involved?
In the international world, you go to ourrescue.org.
Ourrescue.org.
And you can donate there. You can see the stories, the testimonies. They talk about past operations that were successful. The numbers are staggering of how many rescues have been done. Haven't even made a dent.
Have you been personally involved in?
Internationally, I've been involved in three.
How many kids have been saved? Like, internationally, would you say from this program?
Just from this program, you're probably looking at somewhere between 250 and 300.
Wow.
But the numbers are so much higher globally. International, 1.2 million. In the U.S.,
these are
200 to 300,000.
These are the kids that are being exploited right now?
That are being exploited right now, right.
200 to 300,000 in the United States alone.
Mm-hmm. And 80% of them are U.S. children. So you have 14,500, 1,500 foreign nationals that come in.
I was going to ask, is that why they were doing the DNA testing at the border with the kids and all that when they were trying to reunite? Is that why they were doing it?
Absolutely.
To keep that down?
They wanted to make sure that those kids were actually belonging to parents.
And not a sex trafficker.
Absolutely. There was of the 12,000, 10,000 of them didn't have parents with them.
Wow.
And they're just coming. It literally works just like any kind of other trade. They ship them in. There's distribution. They're corporations. And especially, I mean, in the United States, which is mostly my focus, is the domestic side of it. It's everywhere, and we're lucky enough to be in one of the top five in the nation.
So the good parts of town, the bad parts of town, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
It's going on.
And it doesn't matter who's buying. It's the meth head. It's the CEO. There's no demographic.
Aaron Spradlin is our guest, and the website is ourrescue.org.
Correct.
And we'll take a break, come back, talk more with Aaron. It's fascinating, and it's something, you know, this is pretty heavy stuff, and we don't do a whole lot of this kind of stuff on our show. But, you know, we're the fun, ha-ha, yeah.
But this is a big deal, and it needs to be talked
about. This is a huge thing, and if we can save just one child's life, it's worth it. So we'll talk more with Aaron. That's coming up next. Aaron Spradlin is in the studio with us, and he is on the front line of saving kids. It seems like lately it's become more of a thing, the sex trafficking, and more people are kind of aware to it. But it is a epidemic, and it is an absolute problem that we've got to save these kids. And we can talk about these kids around the world, and you go into these countries, and you're undercover, and you do that, and you talk to these, you know, these creeps, and then you bust them, and that's great. But we have so many in the United States. I did not know that it was as high as you said.
You're talking about hundreds of thousands of kids here in America being exploited for these nefarious purposes. That's crazy talk.
It is.
Where are they getting these kids? Like, are they runaways?
You have runaways, you have kidnappings, you have importing, you have the family, 12 years old, being pimped by your grandmother for meth.
That's insane.
Are there things to look for?
There are. You have, like, say you're in a mall. You're walking through the mall, and maybe there's a girl sort of off to the side. In our particular case in this story, there was a girl that was really out of place, okay? Probably 14, but she was made up to look like maybe 19, 20. The hair was done. The nails were the makeup. It was all there, dressed very revealing. And we walked up to her, and we asked her if she was from another country, and she freaked. All right, so she immediately started walking away. What you're going to find is that there's going to be somebody there. So the pimp is going to be in the area.
She ran to that guy,
and they all just took off. Okay. Now her structure, her face, she looked like she was from probably Moldova near the Black Sea, which is where a lot of this comes in from when it's being imported. But in that particular case, other cases, like a guy's walking through with a Filipino girl, a Latino girl, or something that doesn't just add up. It's a different demographic with him, you know, from a different race or different culture.
Yeah.
And there's a shame, or there's a spacey kind of thing about them, because a lot of them are put on the drugs, or they alcohol, or when it gets to not being drugs or addiction, it's threat. So it's threat to the family. It's a chance to get out of it eventually if they make enough money.
Is that what they do? They tell them that if you do enough, then you can buy your way out?
You can buy your way out.
Like indentured servitude?
Absolutely. So it's $5,000 is their number, okay? So they work until they get to the $5,000 that they're keeping track of because they want out. And then they're supposed to get their passports back. They're supposed to get their things back. And then all of a sudden, well, now it's $10,000. Because if they're a good earner, they're not going anywhere.
Right.
Once they're into that life or into the addiction, or there's so much fear. I mean, imagine coming into the United States that you've been taken or sold in Southeast Asia, and you are brought all the way over here on a boat in a container, brought into the United States, dropped off. And the first thing you see are these people that are supposed to be your new buddies. you'll get a break house, which is where there's a woman that kind of mentors you. Then you're hooked on something, maybe, I don't know, opioids or mm-hmm. something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now you've got that fixed. Well, the only way you get that fixed is if you go to work. So they get beaten, they get raped, they become numb, and then they go out to work. And then they start selling them for $150 an hour. And that's happening in the United States over and over.
Right
and
now,
over.
This Absolutely. Very minute, right it's now, going on
said,
somewhere.
We could go for a ride, and I could show you.
Wow.
Oh, my God, it's so sad.
That's like out of a movie. It shouldn't be real. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you go, oh, they made that up.
No.
Unbelievable.
It is there.
If you want to help and you want to get more information, strongly urge you to go online to ourrescue.org and you can read up on it. You can see this, read the stories, the success stories, the numbers, the stats. And if you feel led to help out in a financial way, please do that. We can't all go and be Aaron and hop on a plane to, you know, the middle of nowhere and do a undercover bus to help save these kids.
But that would be kind of cool, though.
It would be pretty satisfying. Is that not the most satisfying, though, when you see them busting the door to arrest them?
As I describe it. Now, that moment is kind of the heart rate goes up a little bit, you know. But my first one I did, 9 girls, 3 pimps. And when the deal went down and the door got open, we all go down to the floor. The most satisfying thing was watching the pimp handcuffed to a chair and crying. Now, this guy was a teacher at the school that was using his children out in the streets.
Oh, wow.
But the best moment next to me hearing my son cry for the first time was when the therapy group got the girls in the back and you heard them laugh because they knew that was over.
Wow.
And you want to talk about fulfilling. And then it's almost addicting. When's the next one? Let's go, let's go, let's go.
What's the website again?
Ourrescue.org.
Ourrescue.org.
Wow. Aaron, thank you, man. Thanks for doing this on behalf of kids that we'll never probably know, meet, you know, see.
Hear
thank
about.
You for doing it. But thank you for doing it.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
You can, again, go to the website, ourrescue.org.